It's all too easy to look at the ongoing struggles over America's borders and questions of who is allowed into the country and who is not as an abstraction. Few of us have been face to face with the human impact of building walls to keep people out. Richard Montoya, co-creator of the show Nogales, Storytellers in Cartel Country, is determined to take the issue away from the realm of abstraction, using a variety of media to tell the story of a teenage Mexican boy shot in the back by a U.S. Border Patrol officer. And Richard is on the phone with us now. Good morning, Richard. Thanks for talking with us.
Hello, Chris. Pleasure to be with you. As you said, Hawaiian Public Radio, boy, it just shot a wonderful little tingle through me, because it means a lot to be here right now at this critical time for our country. So thank you for having us.
Well, Richard, what happened to Jose Antonio Elena Rodriguez?
Well, he was a 15-year-old boy walking in his native Nogales, Mexico, which shares a border and immediacy with Nogales, Arizona. So U.S. Border Patrol agents can see into the Mexico side. And we're talking about a 30-foot iron metal fence slotted. And he was a great kid on the way to a basketball court with a backpack and to meet his younger brothers and sisters and to play some pickup ball after school. This particular corner was a pharmacy right there on the corner. Details are murky, but Border Patrol agents say that they had commanded him to stop from the U.S. side. And when he failed to stop or failed to understand, 12 to 13 rounds were fired through the metal slotted fence. And with at least 11 of the shots hitting the child and killing him instantly. And what ensues after that is, you know, a PR nightmare and a control spin from the U.S. Border Customs side, saying that, you know, it's a drug corridor, the agents were in fear for their life. And so as a flashpoint for us, for theater makers from the U.S., from yeah. San Francisco and Los Angeles, this event was just calling to us very strongly. So we flew down, we went to investigate as almost journalists from radio or television would do. It's a journalistic approach to theater, site-specific documentary theater, they're calling it. And we've been at this for about 15 years now. But this particular incident, given the height of the anti-immigration fervor in the U.S., really, really called out to us. So we went down to investigate and found what was a very normal kid, spoke to his grandmother in the home that he lived in. And then we also at the same time wanted to spend time with law enforcement. So we sat in the office of Phoenix, Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio, kind of the poster boy for zero tolerance for immigration.
Right.
And we spent several hours with Joe Arpaio to kind of get that side of law enforcement as well.
He has how has the case been adjudicated? Has anyone been brought to trial? What has it?
Yes, a federal court has decided to hear the case. There's another case in El Paso. You know, we'll see what happens in our current administration with, you know, all the U.S. attorneys being let go. But there's still circuit court judges all over America that are doing their job as on the judiciary. They are wanting to hear these cases. And so the Border Patrol agent who fired the rounds is facing a pretty massive trial. And this is what the family wanted. It was unprecedented because, you know, no other cases. People from Mexico hadn't been able to sue the Border Patrol. This is by far not the first and only incident. There's been a rash of them.
And yet, Richard, he was on Mexican soil.
He was on Mexican soil. So that made the case very unusual.
Yeah.
And when you go down, Chris, and walk the area and spend as much time there that we did, it's, you know, it's 60 feet down. You know, the Border Patrol agents are able to look down, bear down, point their rifles down. And so for a kid to, you know, chuck a rock or claim that he was in a drug corridor area, you know, most of Mexico is a drug corridor, you know, and what made it what gave it urgency also, Chris, was that the boy was killed 2 weeks after the Trayvon Martin acquittal in and Florida. So this, you know, stand your ground, the rash of Black Lives Matter, something going on, you know, in law enforcement. So the whole ball of wax was waiting for us to unpeel this onion, you know, as theater makers.
And Richard, this is under the jurisdiction. We've heard about Sheriff Joe Arpaio in other contexts, right? This is in his area.
Well, no, it's not. But he's in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. You travel about 100 miles south to Tucson. You either go into El Paso if you keep going east, or if you drop down south about another 45 miles, you go directly to Nogales on the U.S. side, and then the border into Nogales, Mexico. So although it's not in his jurisdiction, to your question, Chris, it's a kind of a zeitgeist.
His sphere of influence
and of law enforcement and Border Patrol and ICE and what counters on the other side is a very active sanctuary movement that was born in Tucson. You know, you've got human rights activists. You've got some wonderful law enforcement people on the other side in the Tucson area in Pima County that have also helped to lead this investigation. So it's not just Joe Arpaio who was voted out of office on this last term. You've got some more moderate law enforcement and politicians in the area that are, you know, justice and seeking justice is still it's a hard fought battle, but going into the federal courts, we're inching closer to some sort of justice for the family. So that's good news.
But sheriffs are elected in Arizona.
They are.
So you could run on a law and order platform, a zero tolerance, stand your ground, all that stuff.
Yeah, you know, when I sat with Sheriff Joe, who was an amiable, grandfatherly, you know, 82-year-old guy, fought in Korea. My father fought in Korea. He's a very Catholic man. My mom's very Catholic. I mean, this guy is a master at pushing sympathy buttons, and he's a master of media and charm. And so you sit with this sort of, you know, grandfatherly guy, and he plays My Way for you from his friend Frank Sinatra. Tommy Lasorda's on the wall. I mean, this. But when I sat with them, Chris, one of my first questions was, you are the son of Italian immigrants. And how do we square that with the idea of immigrants coming to the country to better themselves? And his response was, well, my parents came in legally through Ellis Island. And so the Rio Grande, as a kind of an illegal corridor, and murky, and Ellis Island as a sort of hallowed ground, the legal way. So they tend to square up what we prosecute in the play as a moral question. It's a moral question for us, a question of Christian charity. The what's happening presently with the Steve Bannon Trump administration is in the East Los Angeles, where I live, Chris, a heavily Latino populated area and Asian area, has been the speed and swiftness and meanness of the ICE patrol agents and the speed of which they've moved in to the neighborhoods, and they're not rounding up criminals. They're waiting at elementary school zones and asking parents for identification. So we've seen already where children are screaming and horrified, and it's and the ICE officers, they say police on the back. They don't say ICE. So this is a very calculated, and what Trump campaigned on and what it looks like on the streets of East Los Angeles is something akin to, you know, another country, another time, another place, you know.
Yeah, and it's history has shown what happens then, Richard.
Right. I you know, bite my tongue because I don't, you know, want to say the
well, I hear you.
The obvious, but it's to leave the hothouse of what's happening in East Los Angeles and Tucson and Arizona, and to have a chance to tell this story. You know, the subtitle is "Storytellers in Cartel Country," and it just feels like we're maybe in friendly ground here with Hawaii suing the administration for the travel ban. I mean,
Richard.
It's going to be really neat to kind of exercise and tell this story for our audience here on the island.
It'll be interesting to see what you bring back from being in the islands, Richard. Thanks very much for talking with us.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having us. Come out.
You bet.
The show if you can.
Richard Montoya is the co-founder of the San Francisco-based Chicano performance group Culture Clash and the co-creator with Sean San Jose and Juan Osato of Nogales, Storytellers in Cartel Country. It'll be performed Thursday evening at the Maui Arts and Cultural Center's McCoy Studio Theater.